So last week, Deacon Eric made a reference that went totally over my head. So in revenge, and because it is also his birthday weekend, so to make him feel old, I'm going to make a reference from my generation. Shia LaBeouf, does everyone know who Shia LaBeouf is? So he was like a 90s TV star. And he also made some big films recently, Transformers, Indiana Jones. So anyway, he's this big-time Hollywood actor. He recently made celebrity news for his conversion to Catholicism, and a very traditional Catholicism at that. And in some ways, his story is a very familiar one. He rose to these heights of fame and stardom, and then became entangled in alcoholism, domestic abuse allegations, legal troubles. And it was there, at rock bottom, actually preparing for a role as a Catholic priest, that the former agnostic found God. He did this interview with a Catholic bishop recently, and he actually credited the traditional mass that's said and chanted all in Latin with his conversion. He said, "Latin Mass affects me deeply, deeply. It feels like they're not selling me a car. When I go to some masses with guitars and stuff, it's like they're trying to sell me on an idea." But in the Latin Mass, LaBeouf says it feels like he's being let in on something special. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, the crowds around Jesus are enthralled. They witness powerful miracles and signs. They're hoping that this guy has the answer they've been seeking. They are ready to be sold on his new, exciting idea. And I think it's Jesus's compassion and his deep understanding of human nature that compels him to burst their bubbles with this kind of harsh speech. He wants them to know the cost of following Jesus is high, maybe too high. Jesus is not a car salesman. Jesus is the real deal. He's not trying to convince us of an idea, this one true answer or insight that will change everything in an instant. Jesus is inviting us on a journey of transformation, to be reshaped by God. And he wants his followers to understand that the road ahead is steep and painful. It may involve conflict with loved ones, hardship, poverty, unimaginable sacrifice. And then we've got Jeremiah this morning too, our Hebrew Bible prophet. Similarly stark message for people. If they do not change their ways, God will pluck up and break them down like a potter who destroys a vessel in order to reform it in accordance with his vision. When we're looking to grow the church or simply get more people to join in on what we've discovered about God and the Christian life, it can be tempting to emphasize the shiny bits or only speak of the nourishment and support that our faith has given us. And that's why I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus draws people seeking more. Jesus resonates with those who can see that his miracles, both then and now, are not gimmicks or easy fixes. They are the hand of God reshaping the world into God's divine vision of justice and freedom. We must have the courage to say honestly that being part of the Jesus movement may not grant you wealth. It might actually be a financial strain. It may not be all fun and rest and relaxation. It may be hard work, lots of precious time and energy. And Christian fellowship won't all be kindness and cheer. It'll involve hard decision-making and conflict. Yet through all that reworking, we are being bound up in one another and in God's vision for the world. The transformation God has in store for us has a high cost. Many in this room know that to be true. LaBeouf's story echoes so many faith stories I've encountered, including my own, the divine act of being broken down to some extent in order to be built back up again. And so often, too, the building up is not this deliberate intellectual choice to believe. The building up occurs as the unfathomable experience of mystery, the authentic encounter with an ineffable divine. It's being let in on something special, profound, authentic, unlike anything we've known, like a language we can't understand that speaks to us all the same. So how is this good news? How is this emphasis on the high cost of discipleship good news? Where is the good news in Jeremiah's stark warnings about God plucking up and breaking down? Our psalmist today points the way. Psalm 139's beautiful, intimate language reminds us that we are in God's hands, the potter's hands, and that we have always been. God has been reworking and reshaping us long before we knew it. There is no part of ourselves that's walled off from God, no dark, shadowy corner of our soul that God's light cannot penetrate. Every bit of us is deeply and truly known. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm not a potter, but I am a knitter. And if you're a knitter too, or have ever watched a knitter knit, you'll know that one of the secret pleasures of knitting is how easy it is to pull out the stitches you've just made and rework them, reusing the same yarn. Even in the reshaping, every bit of our clay is reused in the new vessel. Our clay, our yarn, our inmost parts are transformed in God's hands, not discarded or thrown away. Our essence is precious to God, has always been. Hear how beloved the psalmist is to God and how clearly the psalmist knows it. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand on me. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful and I know it well. There is pain and sacrifice in the reworking. Rock bottom and its descent are desperate, miserable, isolating experiences. But there is also good news. We can trust the potter. We can trust, too, in the belovedness of our essence, our clay, even as we are being radically remade. Amen.